Have you ever heard of the sandwich generation? This term refers to people who are both raising kids and taking care of their aging parents. Many of us are in that same situation, and we all deal with it in different ways.
Roz Chast chronicles her own challenges in a new memoir. It's called Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant? Roz Chast is one of The New Yorker magazine's best-known cartoonists, so as you might expect, her memoir is three parts cartoon, one part text. She chronicles what it was like to care for her parents. She looks at a part of old age that is never portrayed really well in the media, stepping over the threshold from my age, I'm 60, so is Roz, to what happens when we become very old.
I'm not talking about old age like some number. I'm talking about what the part of old age where you are dependent on other people, not just like a couple of hours a week to maybe help you take a shower or something like that. Or, you know, you look at somebody and you say, oh, they've got white hair and a few wrinkles. Oh, you know, I'm not talking about that. You know, the people you see in Centrum Silver ads or something like that, or the ads for Depends, these people look pretty spry. And so, okay, Depends, I'm not so happy about that, but they look pretty good. Not talking about that at all. You know, I'm talking about this kind of very extended part of old age that I don't think used to exist.
I don't think we lived as long, maybe.
Yeah, we didn't live as long, and there weren't so many ways that we extended, you know, that period of life where you're no longer able to care for yourself, but nothing is going to take you out, you know?
So you, September 9th, 2001, had this need to go to Brooklyn and see what was going on. And from that point on, what you chronicle is your father's steady mental decline. He had dementia and your mother's physical, I was going to say progression, but that's not
decline.
Decline. They're both their decline.
Yeah.
And this is over a period of several years.
Yes, it's about not even 10 years, because 2001, my father passed away in 2007. My mother died in 2009 at the respective ages of 95 and 97. So
long lives.
Long lives, yeah.
How would you describe your emotional state through that period? I mean, was it declining as well?
Sick laugh. It was very stressful.
Yeah.
You know, especially as things progressed. I was very relieved to finally get them out of their apartment into a place, because Brooklyn, where they were living in Brooklyn, was about – door to door would be about 2.5 hours from where I was living. You know, it's not that far as the so-called crow flies, but because of traffic, because of the logistics, it just takes a really long time and made me very uncomfortable to be that far away.
Now, it's a place you call The Place.
The Place.
The Place, which actually sounds like it was a pretty nice place.
Yes,
and a very expensive place.
Yes.
A lot of people who are listening may be going through these similar conversations with parents. Hey, maybe you should think about moving into places that for my generation, baby boom generation, sound great. Look, here's this independent living.
They don't sound so great. They sound horrible.
Yeah, I mean, you looked at them, and what was the point where your parents, I'm not sure agree is the right word, but where they finally accepted that this is what they were going to do?
There were a lot of episodes that led up to that. I mean, it really took years. And I think the thing that finally pushed it over the edge was my mother kept falling. She would just lose her balance. And she wore a life alert thing, you know, which was great at first. But then they would want to bring her to the hospital. And she would have to argue her way out of that. And then finally she stopped using it. And then my father would go out of the apartment into the building to look for, they would call the super, you know, maybe the super could come up and help, or they would call somebody else in the building. And then the last time my mother fell backwards into the bathtub and my father couldn't lift her out. And then he went out of the apartment to look for help. And then somehow he got turned around and then he finally made it back to the apartment. But I think that they realized that things were out of hand.
And you were 2.5 hour trip away. You must have been freaking out.
It was horrible. And they did at that point, I had and this took a lot of convincing too. They had had a little bit of help during the week, but they didn't want full-time help. And even that wasn't a great solution because they were still 2.5 hours away from me. And so even if I had hired somebody or two people to do 12-hour shifts for full-time help, A, they didn't want that. And B, what if the person was not competent? What if they weren't good? You know, I wasn't there often enough to check on them.
Who did you turn to just for you to deal with all the stress you were going through?
I had a couple of friends who were actually several friends who were great to talk about it with and to tell, you know, the latest awful story. And, you know, and a couple of them were going through the same thing at the same time. And that was great, you know, to be able to talk to somebody and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm losing it.
I'm sure that there are people listening right now going, absolutely.
Yeah. You just feel like I cannot do this.
I'm not going to, I mean, you've just mentioned it, so it's not giving anything away to say both of your parents died.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you decide?
Spoiler alert.
I don't want to spoil it there.
Yeah. Right. Guess what happens when you're like 100 years old? Oh, no, don't tell me.
When did you decide you were going to write a memoir about this? Or that you could write a memoir about this?
I think I started to think a little bit about it at the very end of my mother's life, but it took a while. Because, I mean, my mother died in 2009 and it's now 2014. Mm-hmm. So it took a while to really figure it out. But some of the cartoons in the book, the way it works for me is I do weekly cartoons. Well, I don't do a cartoon in every week of the issue of The New Yorker, but every week I submit a group of cartoons to The New Yorker for them to look through and then choose, if I'm lucky, a cartoon from what we call the batch. So my batches include generally around 6 or 8 cartoons. And if I'm lucky, they take one. But in all of those batches for all of those years, I always had not every single week, but I often had cartoons about my parents, like the Dirty Checkers one, you know, or the Oven Mitt one, or the ones that happened after the World Trade Centers were hit. Those were done the day of and the day after, you know, these crazy conversations I would have with my parents. So I just – some of the cartoons in the book are things that were just turned in as part of my weekly batch.
You also have in this book drawings that are not cartoons that you made of your mother.
Right.
At essentially her deathbed.
Yeah.
For me, it seemed highly personal because we know you through New Yorker cartoons and through the course of this book. A lot of it is in that Roz Chast style. It's familiar. And then as the book progresses, these are drawings that you made of her. They're sketches the way an art student would make sketches. Yeah. What was the decision that compelled you to include those in this book? They're stark.
They're very serious, I guess. Or no, I don't mean like solemn, but they're not cartoons.
No.
You know, they're sketches of my mother. And I did them when I was spending time with her, I did them not only when she wasn't really speaking very much, but I did them after I felt like my relationship with her was over. And I think I have a cartoon in there about my final really long conversation with her when I just felt like this is it, you know?
You went through the experience of watching both your parents die, of caring for them and watching them die. Then you went through the experience of putting this into a book and compiling it. How did both of those experiences affect the work that you do outside chronicling this?
I think once you go through the experience of losing your parents, it transforms you in many, many, many ways. I mean, in all ways. It makes you realize, like, you know, if my parents can die, what does this mean for me? Oh, I see. I understand now. You know, I'm next on the diving board, you know. And also just your relationship to your stuff, which is almost funny. It's like, how did I not know this before? that this is really just a bunch of stuff. And when you clear out your deceased parents' stuff, like, you can never again go into a thrift shop or a secondhand shop and see the stuff the same way. It's like the wool falls from your eyes. It's like, this is dead people stuff. This is somebody cleaned out their parents' house or apartment. That's where these dishes come from. That's where that funny lamp from the 50s comes from, or with the 30s or whatever. Probably for us, it'll be like, oh, look at that, like, you know, Debbie Harry T-shirt. You know, but...
It's good that you can laugh at it, because essentially I wanted to go clean as much as I could, and I set my 19-year-old son going through all his stuff. Clean that.
Now, oh, yeah.
You're on summer break. These days, you do have one tangible reminder of your parents without thinking about it. They live where they reside with you. They don't live, but they reside in your home. Yes?
Yeah, they're... I have their, this is such a sort of great slash horrible word, cremains. I have their cremains in my closet, which evidently is not unusual, or not that unusual. You know, my parents were both cremated I don't want to go into that, but... And when I picked up their cremains, they were in these cardboard boxes that my father's was in, a navy blue. They had the cardboard box. There's like a plastic box. No, there's a plastic bag with the cremains. Then the plastic bag with the cremains goes into a plastic box, which goes into a cardboard box, which goes into this velvet pouch. That's what they had at the place, the funeral parlor in my town. So my father was in a navy blue pouch. My mother's, in the, all these boxes and bags and stuff, was in a maroon velvet pouch. And they had never given me any instructions on where they wanted to be. And it's not like we have a family plot or something. It's not like my father was a great sailor and, you know, there's nothing like that in my family. And my father's actually, his box is in his beloved Channel 13, that's public television, bag, which he always carried. And they're in my, and my mother's is not in any bag. They're just the velvet pouch. And they're in my closet. And I like that.
Roz, thank you so much for coming and talking to me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Roz Chast is one of New Yorker Magazine's best-known cartoonists. Her new memoir, Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant?, was named one of Time Magazine's best books of 2014 so far. It's The Record with David Hyde. I'm Marcy Silman.